Time to take a look at the quality of the air we breathe. And I'm talking about indoor air. It might be your home. It might be your office. Martine Davis is our guest of Indoor Environmental Testing of Madison. She's a council-certified indoor environmentalist, council-certified mold inspector, and a certified building biologist. We're really pleased to have her with us. And certainly, if you have questions concerning indoor air quality, you are most welcome to join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And you can also email us, and that address is talk@wpr.org. Give a call. Martine Davis, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Nice to be here.
When you got started in the industry, you were trying to solve some problems that you encountered in your own home.
That's right. That's how I got into this business. Actually, I was a computer engineer for 20 years. And at one point in time, we moved into a new home. And I was traveling a lot for business at the time. And I noticed that whenever I was in the home, I would get ill. And the illness progressed to being really worse. And the only indication I had that it was related to the home was that because when I was gone on the business, I would feel better.
You're fine.
And so I decided to check into that and made a lot of discoveries about my home and what was making me ill, and decided to make a career change at that time.
So you went back to school and...
I went back to school.
Got your degrees, and here you are.
Here I am.
Well, what type... We don't have to go into your specific, but what are some typical... types of problems that people have in their homes?
Typically, right now, what we're seeing a lot of is moisture issues with mold, mm-hmm. and also a lot of off-gassing, because what's happening now is we're trying to save energy, so we're making our houses really tight and energy efficient. But on the other hand, all of our new furnishings, like carpeting, drapes, furniture, they're off-gassing a lot of byproducts, mm-hmm. chemical byproducts. And they're being allowed to accumulate in the air because there is actually no way for them to escape. We're really trying to keep the heat in or the cool in, but we're also keeping the chemicals and the toxins in.
Yeah, we're actually going through a home remodel of our own right now, tightening up the home, and we had an energy audit done as well. And the guy who did the energy audit certainly said, "Well, if you're going to tighten things up, you want to get in." What is it? Heat recovery system. It used to be called air-to-air heat exchanger,
right.
Which I thought was more descriptive. But
it is. Yeah, now they call them heat recovery ventilator, which introduces fresh air into the home. And they also have energy recovery ventilators, which are an HRV, a heat recovery ventilator, with the addition of a dehumidifier on the furnace. And usually those are recommended for very humid climates like in Florida.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue here too much.
Not too much, no.
Not yet. Anyway, we'll see what happens with global warming.
Last couple of days, it would have been handy.
Yeah, it would have been handy the last few days. Well, I tell you what, we have lots of callers online to visit with you. Every line's full. So let's go to the phones, and Jay and Madison will give you a chance first. Jay, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, great. Thanks for taking my call. I guess... my question and concern would be, I live on the west side, and there's a very large cornfield immediately across the road from our home. And, we notice routinely that in the seals of our window and accumulating in the windows, a lot of dirt and dust coming from that cornfield. There's always a strong breeze blowing off that cornfield right into our house. We've got a newborn baby coming within a week or two, and her room would be in one of the rooms right next to this cornfield. So I guess I'm wondering, how concerned should I be about having those windows open? Should I keep them closed? What should I think about this?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. If you want to open the windows, you're going to have to watch to see when the wind is blowing in your direction toward your home, and you're going to have to avoid those windows on that side of the house. The other thing that you can do is you can filter the air coming in through a window. They actually have filtered screens now. They're not as pretty as I'd like to see them, but they do filter the air coming in if you insist on having a window open. Or you can keep the house closed and then have filtration on the furnace. And again, this is an instance where a heat recovery ventilator would be a good option because you're still getting the fresh air from the outdoors. You're diluting the toxins inside, but you're filtering the air as it's coming into your home. So you're avoiding the pesticides, potentially the molds coming off the corn. Those would be the two most, the two things that I would concern about.
The most, okay.
Yeah.
All right, does that help out, Jay?
Yeah, it does help out. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And is that kind of, are those screens expensive?
No, I think they run about $15, $20 for each window.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Well, I tell you what, we have some more callers here, but we lost our phone lines for a second. Stay, if you're online, just stay with us online. Let's talk a little bit about indoor environmental testing of Madison. What's that all about?
Well, what we do is we conduct investigations of various sorts. Usually people will call either because they have noticed the family doesn't feel well when they're in the home or because they notice an odor. So we do a lot of odor investigations. Sometimes the odors turn out to be something different than the homeowner thought it was.
Dead mouse in the wall or something?
That could be. We've had some chemical smells present, and when we go in to test, we find that actually it was mold, but the mold was eating a certain substance that made it smell chemical, like formaldehyde.
Oh, so you come in and test for all that. How do you do
that?
Do you have tests, something that sort of sucks the air in and that runs it through a filter or what?
That's exactly right. We have what's called an air sampling pump, which simply just sucks air into a tube, and we can either send that tube to the lab or we can also suck the air on a microscope slide. And then the microbiologist at the lab will look at the slide and tell us what he found.
Interesting. Jim in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling. Jim, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
I have a question about radon. I have a radon vac system built into my house, and we're in a hotbed area in my part of the state. And I'm wondering if there's any device that I could put at the outlet tube on top of my roof to really check the concentration of it. Or I know that there was a small device put in the basement when I purchased the home to give me an idea of what kind of levels I had. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I don't think that you're concerned about what comes out of the roof unit. I think what you could do if you wanted to know that you're actually controlling the radon and keeping it low enough is buy a radon monitor. They're about $90 on the internet. That might be a little more now, $100. And you plug it into an outlet, make sure that it's kept away from the furnace vents or kept away from open windows, obviously. And that will monitor the radon year-round for you.
Put it in a dead area?
In the basement, I assume?
In the basement, not near the furnace. You want to be in a room away from the furnace and away from vents.
Okay. I have a number of vents downstairs. In other words, I'm saying that the air movement is fairly constant down there. As the furnace cycles on and off, there's not much of a place to put a device to keep it away from moving air.
Air movement is fine. Air movement is fine. It's just that if a vent was blowing air directly onto the unit, it might just damage the unit or give it a false reading.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions as we talk indoor air quality with Martine Davis of Indoor Environmental Testing of Madison. Glad to have her on, and certainly the number for you to call is 1-800-642-1234 or at Madison at 263-1890, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Bob in Darlington, you are next. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure.
And I've got a wonderful story about Pure Air that involves our house in Darlington.
Uh-huh.
It's an older home. It was built in 1914, but it's been remodeled quite nicely, and it's got a new roof, and it's been insulated well. And we put a new little gas fireplace in, and we we had the people from Highland come, and they put a special nice liner and cap on the chimney. And then we got a new furnace and a new air conditioner system. And what we did with the furnace here a couple of years ago is that we attached a very sophisticated filtering system that I think it even contains a UV system. It really knocks out all of the toxins and molds and everything. And we have a cleaning lady that comes in maybe every 3 or 4 weeks. She can't find a speck of dust in her house anywhere. Isn't that marvelous?
That is great.
The freshness of the air itself is just unbelievable.
Now, is this a sort of an April Air type?
It's quite an expensive unit. I think it costs around $3,000.
Does that have a HEPA filter included in there?
It's got a HEPA filter, and it also has that special catalytic,
conversion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this has all of the new technologies, and each technology addresses different things. The thing to think about UV, there is a misconception out there that when air passes at 35 miles an hour through a UV light that it kills everything in its path, and that's not true. UV needs to be in contact for a certain period of time with an organism before it can be killed.
Okay, so that's one thing to be concerned about, or at least to think about.
Think about.
Now, with most furnaces, you've got this typical furnace filter that you put in. With new furnaces, there's also April Air keeps coming into my head. Unfortunately, there must be other brands as well, but there's another type of filtering system that you can put in for, $300-$400?
Right. Those are 6-inch wide filters. April Air is the most popular and one of the best, and I think the other manufacturers jumped on the bandwagon and copied that. There's also an Air Bear. Train makes one. Mm-hmm. Those are very effective, although they're not much more effective than a Filtrete 3M filter from the hardware store.
Oh, they're not?
Not that much more, not in my measurements. And I take particle counts in every home, and I've done many hundreds of homes.
So I was thinking about putting one of those new filters in place of the normal filters that I've got. I might not need that.
I have an April Air myself because they're always touted as one of the best as far as lab tests. But my experience is when I take particle counts in homes, the least effective is the static filters.
They're
the ones
least.
That you clean every month. They're the least effective. And the most effective are the Air Bear April Air or the 3M Filtrete filter if you go with the red or the purple, which is the allergen type.
The 3M...
Filtrete.
Filtrete. Okay, I'll write that down because I'm sure somebody's going to ask about that. We will put that down. The red or the blue type.
Red or the purple.
Or purple, okay. All right, we've got that. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Jay in Madison, it's your turn coming up. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. My question has to do with the fact that I live in an older apartment, and my carpets are very, very old. And I think it's kind of affecting my allergies and the air quality. And I was wondering what my landlord's responsibility is in terms of keeping up the air quality of my apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not an attorney, so I can't answer that. Usually there is a clause in the lease that will state that the apartment or the home has to be habitable or cannot be a health hazard. Now, trying to prove that there is a health hazard would be very difficult because there is quite a bit of controversy right now about how much harm does mold do? And usually in an old carpet, it's going to be a mold issue as well as dander, possibly pet urine, odors. But the mold would be the most likely to be considered a harmful substance if it was tested, and then you could determine that it was emitting mycotoxins. But that's a long process, and it's an expensive process.
Yeah. It's almost cheaper to put a new carpet in.
It probably would be.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay. Thank you very much for calling. Martine Davis, our guest today of Indoor Environmental Testing of Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Martine Davis of Indoor Environmental Testing of Madison. As we talk indoor air quality with her, give us a call if you have a question. Mike and Amory has one, so let's see here. Oh, let's go to Mike and Amory. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. You're welcome. My question has to do with furnace filters. I came up with the idea of spraying cooking spray like PAM onto my furnace filter in order to improve its efficiency. And it does seem to work. The filters seem to catch the dust much better than without the cooking spray. But my wife is concerned about that. She's concerned that it may damage the filter or cause some other problems. I just wonder if you've ever heard of that and if you see any problem with doing that.
Are you spraying that on the regular filter or a pleated filter?
It's one of those cheap, like $3.99 filters that you can buy at a store.
Yeah. Okay. Pleated type.
No. The ones where you can see through.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that probably in this instance would help. I would be concerned about doing that on the pleated filter because then you're going to be putting maybe too much contention on your furnace motor and you could do some damage. You have to remember also that when you have too much contention, you are shortening the life of the furnace motor. And some people are willing to do that to get better air quality.
So, okay, well, thank you very much.
Little trade-off there, Mike. Lou in Park Falls, your turn. Hi, Lou.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm a heating contractor up here in Park Falls, and they were discussing the different filters. It's that 3M filter, the pleated filter. I found out that there must be a airflow problem with those after they've been in a week or two because they're burning out limit controls on my new furnaces. And so I recommend to the customers not to use those. Use the regular 59-cent filters if that's the type of filter system they're going to have, and just change it more often. Also, that those electronic filters, they produce an ozone, and I've noticed that, you know, I've been doing this 30 years. The kids that have like asthma and problems like that, I have a real hard time breathing when that Honeywell electronic filter is operating. I use AirBear. I use the April Air. Honeywell's actually got a replacement filter for that April Air, and it's a lot easier. You don't have to play with those fingers for a half hour. It just kind of has hinges and snaps right in place. It's a pretty good item. It's only about $5 more than the April Air, and it installs in the spot there in about 5 minutes, as opposed to wrestling down on your hands and knees with that April Air filter.
What's the name of that filter?
That's Honeywell makes it.
Oh, Honeywell.
And it's a replacement for the April Air 2200, and it's got a hinge in it, and you just take the old April Air out, and you hinge it open and slide it right in and put the cover on, and you can change it in 3-5 minutes, you know.
All right. Comments, Martine?
On these 6-inch filters, I have not seen a huge difference between the different brands. So Honeywell, April Air, AirBear, they're all pretty efficient. As far as the electrostatic filters and producing ozone, some of them do, some of them don't. But when you said that you had trouble breathing, my experience is with the electrostatic filters is that the particle count is very high, a lot of very fine particles, and that might be just in itself the reason for the breathing difficulty.
And what about the other filters that maybe, too, he was saying he's had to replace motors because of the filters being too clogging up too quickly.
Right. I've been told this by a couple of HVAC contractors. However, I've never experienced it on either older or newer furnaces. And all of my customers use the pleated filters that I recommend. So I'm not sure.
Interesting.
Never encountered it.
Lou, thank you very much for calling. I want to get some others online here. Brian in Webster, we go to you next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Great. See, I got a question for your guest. I've got an older home, gosh, maybe 80 years old, and the basement is about a third of the total home. And in the basement, I've got a gas furnace, and it's got what I was told is a wild return. It means there's no return vents. And so it's sucking all the air from that wet, damp basement and blowing it through the home. And I'm going to be putting an air conditioner in, and I'm going to put some return ducting in. And I want to know if the existing ducting is suitable, or could there be contaminants where maybe I need to go in and clean that ducting, or just tear it all out.
Now, whether the duct is the ducts are contaminated or not, that's hard to determine unless you get it tested. Sometimes you can tell because when you turn the furnace on, you get a very strong musty odor. When you turn the furnace off, the odor goes away. So that tells you you've got potentially mold growing in the ducts.
Is cleaning ducting effective, or is that kind of a gimmick?
It's effective if the ducts need to be cleaned. if there is a lot of mold growing, excuse me, if there is a lot of mold growing in the ducts, then they really need to be cleaned. A lot of times I look inside ducts with my camera, and I see very little accumulation of dust particles.
Sure.
In that case, I don't recommend that people do it. My experience also is that a lot of my customers, when they get the duct cleaning done, they don't always get the results that they had hoped for.
Yeah, I was told by an HVAC guy to just spray like Lysol while the furnace is running into the that would help, you know, reduce any of that, contaminants, if you will.
It's going to probably reduce some. I'm not sure that Lysol would be my first choice because it would probably could be harmful to somebody that might have asthma or allergies because there are some toxic chemicals in there.
Oh.
So I think I would maybe go with something a little more natural, like an essential oil mixed with water.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Doug in Ashland, your turn now. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Larry. Yes, I have a question from Martina. My runoff from my neighbor's house, from their sub pump, runs downhill towards my house. One side of my house, I get a mold smell. And it seems to not be affected so much right now this time of year with the drought and everything because of the rain, lack of rain. But I did ask them to move this hose, maybe possibly extend it out to the drainage ditch. Do I have a legal matter over this? Is that something that the city should ordinance or?
Now, you said you had a musty smell. Is the water running into the basement wall or do you have a crawl space?
Actually, I am on a slab.
You're on a slab.
So an older home, yeah. It was like a camp at one time.
So the slab is getting damp and the extra water is rising through the slab and then possibly getting into the carpeting and causing the musty odor.
Yeah, that's not. We're on the siding coming through the side now.
If right.
Sprayed Lysol, that kind of hides the smell, but in the spring of the year, it really stands out.
Well, and once the mold starts growing in the carpeting, it's practically impossible to remove the odor. You have to replace the carpeting. It's a very porous surface. There's no way to actually remove mold from carpeting.
Mm. Uh-huh. Is there any action I can talk to the city about, because I don't seem to be getting any results talking to the neighbor?
Well, redirecting the water flow is definitely a must. I mean, if it's causing damp conditions and moisture, it's actually going to be affecting the foundation. I mean, that needs to be redirected
So you better go to the – I would certainly go to the city. You're building your building office, what would be the proper title? I'm blanking here suddenly, Martine. Normally I tell you what, if you call the mayor's office and say, look, I've got this issue, and they'll probably direct you to the right place.
All right, I'll try that.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Have a couple of open lines. We'll get you on pretty fast here at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Jack in Waukesha next. Hi, Jack.
Hello there. I don't want any smart answers here, but tell me, what is a swamp filter?
All right. What's a swamp filter? Now, you see those more in the south, don't you?
Yep.
Not familiar with them at all.
No. Okay. Well, my wife says her daughter and son-in-law in their new house in New Mexico has a swamp filter.
It's not a swamp filter. A filter is, it's not a swamp filter. There may be a filter on it, but it's a
swamp cooler. Maybe.
A swamp cooler is probably what they're talking about. And a swamp cooler, well, you can tell Martina.
Well, I'm not
it's
very
familiar. Like an air conditioner.
Yeah, it's like an air conditioner, and they're usually used in the South and Southwest, so I'm not very familiar with them. I've never actually investigated a case that had one.
Yeah, we have families, had families, family living in Arizona, and they had a one of those installed on the – they go on the roof of the house, typically, and they're –
Sometimes they go in the crawl space.
Sometimes they do?
Yeah.
Okay. And
ceiling, as if it's hanging out of the ceiling, you know, maybe indented into it.
There may be a filter somehow connected with it, but that's not really something that we would have here anyway.
Is it just an evaporation device?
Right.
Cold water it?
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Melanie in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Melanie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in the process of purchasing a home, and they've found mold. And I just wanted to know if I know I have some allergies to mold already, so just wanted to get an opinion about, you know, how easy it is to clean it up. I know that it's obviously expensive, but I just will the end result be a safe place to live?
If the remediation work is done correctly, it's actually you end up with a cleaner home or better home as far as air quality than before, or than if it didn't even have mold, if it's done correctly. Where did they find the mold?
In the basement.
Okay. Was it on concrete walls or inside wall cavities?
They found it mostly on the walls and then one behind a wall cavity, a small area behind a wall cavity.
So this is a partially finished basement?
It has paneling.
Okay. Yeah, so if the mold is behind the paneling or inside the wall cavity, that is a more difficult process. And the question always is, did we get it all? Because mm-hmm. until you open a wall cavity, until you open them all, you don't know what you have in between. You can do some air testing, but it's very expensive to test each wall cavity. As far as removing mold from a concrete wall, that's very easy to do. It's inexpensive, and it's safe once it's done. But the wall cavity, I would just say, to answer your question, I would ask that the wall cavities be tested when they're all done to make sure that they didn't leave any mold behind.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jill in Racine, I believe you are next. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Larry.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
We have April air on our heater, and we moved in 76. We've never used it, but my question was, we're going to get a new dehumidifier for the basement. Is there a new ecological or a new kind that's been developed?
The April Air dehumidifiers are still actually on top of the list as far as I'm concerned. They're the new models that they have. They only have one, I believe. It's very effective, it's very simple, it's easy to clean, and it does the job. The only thing about dehumidifiers is if you don't maintain them properly, they may leak. And when they leak water in the ductwork. And if there's dust in the ductwork, then mold will grow in the ducts, and that's when you get that really strong, musty smell.
Got it.
Well, the one we have is 14 years old. I've cleaned it and kept up with it. But
okay.
It's time for a new one.
Okay. Well, if you've cleaned it and kept up with it.
It's probably doing its job. And just keep watching that membrane that it's not clogged. Make sure that the tubes are not clogged. Mm-hmm. And as long as it's draining and you don't see any water going into the ducts, any leaks, then it's fine.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Paula in Duluth, Minnesota, you are next. Hi, Paula.
Hello. I was calling. In our workplace, we had some air quality issues, and they had a person come in with a microphone device that measured, I think, oxygen parts per million and CO and things, and that came out fine, but they never tested in the ductworks. And if we turn our heat up in our enclosed space, it just smells really like burning dust. And we were concerned about spores, but should they have tested in the ductwork too? We use personal heaters rather than turn up through that air system.
It's not common to test the ductworks. We can use cameras to see if we see visible mold. Now, in the case of burnt dust, That's a different issue. This would not even be a mold issue. This would be a chemical issue. And they would have to test to see what kind of emissions are coming off of the vent. So whether they tested for mold or not, it doesn't sound like they did, and it probably wasn't necessary if you're smelling burnt dust.
So what would they test for the burnt dust? They'd hold something up in front of the vents then and...
Exactly. They would just collect some air into a metal canister, send it to a lab for analysis, and they would come back with all the chemicals that were emitted from that air.
Okay. And also when you mentioned about the Lysol in the ducts, a lot of people, they use the Lysol wipes and cleaners. And is there something in there that can give a person some difficulty breathing? I don't know if it's just the ammonia, but
A lot of times, in all of those wipes, what's bothering people is the alcohol.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot for calling,
okay,
Paula.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Sandy in Wyawega, your turn. Hi, Sandy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm just a private homeowner, go about finding someone to check your home?
I would look in the phone book under indoor air quality. Usually it's under air quality.
Air quality.
You can also look under mold and possibly look under environmental.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you could do a search online.
And with using the same terms,
probably. Using
mold hyphen Wisconsin or something
mold,
like that?
Mold Wisconsin or air quality testing Wisconsin and see what comes up. Unfortunately, on the internet, there are a couple of companies that have pretty much monopolized the Google results with mold, where you come up with, 20 entries and 19 of them are theirs.
Okay.
Oh, so you have to be a little careful.
So you have to just go a little further into the search.
Is there there is a certification process because you're a certified mold inspector, a certified building biologist. What should a person look for? Is there some sort of professional organization or?
Yes, I would look for somebody who has been certified by the American IAQ Council.
IAQ?
IAQ, which stands for Indoor Air Quality. That is a certification that is pretty credible, and not because I have it, but it's the most credible right now. There are no certifications or licenses as far as the government is concerned. This is a self-contained operation here. So I would look for somebody that's a CIE because that tells you that they've had at least enough training to know what they're looking for.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Certified CIQ, I wonder.
CIE is the Certified Indoor Environmentalist.
Okay. Let's go to Alice in Milwaukee. Hi, Alice.
Hello. I'd like to know if you could comment on the Oric air purifier.
I've tested the Oric air purifier, and a lot of the Oric machines produce ozone.
Right.
The EPA recommends against ozone. There have been some children that have suffered harm, lung damage because of ozone. So you have to really watch ozone. Ozone is something that should really be used only in an unoccupied building.
Okay.
So I don't recommend running an ozone machine in the home when people are there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Alice. And Andy in DeForest, your turn now. Hi, Andy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick comment on the guy that was spraying the cooking spray on the filter. I'm an HVAC contractor. You run into problems with putting anything like that because you can gum up your blower wheel, and worse yet, if you got something that went through and got on your heat exchanger, you can cause your heat exchanger to fail. And I can guarantee you that the furnace manufacturer won't warranty it if you're putting something like that in there.
That's a very good point.
Excellent point.
So, yeah, if they don't make a filter like that, it's probably for a good reason.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's whether or not your furnace's company is not going to stand behind the furnace if you've been doing something like that.
Right. Of course, we're assuming that the PAM substance is somehow gumming up the motor, but it's possible.
Yeah. Steve in Madison, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question provided a very intermittent odor we get, and it could be, you know, 2 weeks between these instances when it happens. And at first we thought it was sewer gas, and it's actually in a condo complex, and they tested with the smoke where they put smoke into the sanitary sewers and try and, you know, blow it back into your unit. And, you know, there's no problem with the drains, but we can't figure out where this is coming from or even what it really is. It does smell kind of like sewer gas to us, but I'm not sure. How would we track that down?
Well, odors are very complicated. I had a case one time in a nursing home where the one floor smelled very strongly of sewer gas. And we looked in that area and couldn't find anything. And it turned out that after a couple of visits, we found that there was mold growing between plaster and vinyl wallpaper. And for some reason, the vinyl made the mold smell like sewer gas as opposed to a musty odor. So sometimes a sewer gas smell might not be sewer gas. As far as where to look, I would look, you know, first in, of course, the basement. Is this a condo, you said?
It's a condo townhome. There's no basement. And we only get the smell right in the entryway on the first floor. It never gets up to the second or third level. Doesn't get into the garage. And the furnace is on that in that first level, in a little furnace room with a water heater. But again, it might be 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and it happens and it dissipates in, you know, maybe a half an hour. So it's not constant.
Is there vinyl wallpaper on the walls?
Well, just paint. And
just
it's
paint.
A year and a half, a 2-year-old building almost now. It's fairly new.
That's.
Might want to get an inspector to take a look at that.
But how would you, you know, I'd have to call them and it'd have to come within 5 minutes to measure it because it doesn't stay there that long.
It'll
dissipate.
Wow, that's weird that it would only last a few minutes.
Right.
And then it stays away for a couple weeks.
A couple weeks. And at first we thought maybe it was related to rain, like the rain, but then we kept checking and, you know, keeping track, and that really wasn't it. Like the sewer was backing up or something, but it wasn't.
The only thing I can think of is to order a container, a canister that you would have on hand, and then you would actually open it up when you smell that, because you wouldn't have time to call someone and have them come over. You would have to do it yourself and then send it to the lab for analysis.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was available. I'm glad you said that. Okay, well, I'll check into that then.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And somebody else asked me, they have, speaking of sewer, the pipe that runs down into their basement, there's a fairly large
cap,
and that cap was just off and to the side.
No, that needs to be put back in. That needs to be replaced because you're actually letting sewer come through.
Okay. So he needs to get that taken care of.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I tell you, and how do people get a hold of you, by the way? Are you online? Do you have a website?
I'm online. I'm at airinspector.com.
Airinspector.com. Well, that's an easy one.
Right.
Thank you very much, Martine. I hope we can come back and do this again.
It was fun.
Martine Davis of Indoor Environmental Testing of Madison. She's a Council-certified indoor environmentalist, Council-certified mold inspector, and certified building biologist. And again, if you want to find out some more about her business, go to airinspector.com. Well, how do we get rid of those fluorescent light bulbs that we've been collecting, hopefully? Compact fluorescent lights, CFLs as they're called. We'll find out how to properly dispose of fluorescent bulbs coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.